Hey, Space Podcast kittens, it's Kathy Cat.
And Lady Bear coming at you with another homemade cabling installment of
Cat with Bear.
We are back with more Galaxy Girl Biter.
Woohoo!
Hi, howdy. What's up? That's a lot.
The things are up, my friend.
I can't wait to hear the continue of the story.
Yeah, if you didn't see the last episode with Pida, go watch it because we went through an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah. Apparently, yeah. It was hard.
It involved getting booted out of countries and having to fight immigration and paperwork at consulates.
I punched him in the face.
And then fighting back your way back in. And
booty busting.
Fighting on the streets. Fighting in your friend's living room.
Singing in hallways.
Fighting on apps. Fighting in the hallways, exactly.
I'm a trooper.
Damn. Wow.
It sounds like a social movement, doesn't it? We will fight in the hallways. We will fight on the applications.
All right. We will fight at the immigration office.
So you did not get into that.
I did not get into
that. Literally, it had me sweating here just listening to it. But... So you then decided to, I'll do my own thing and go back home.
Yes, that's exactly what
So this is the birth of the Pida we know now because you did not try to comply to whatever was given to you as well. Yeah. You could have just then joined a different...
I could have stayed. I could have kept doing applications. I could have gone solo here. But at the time, I think I was just, you know, really in love with the idea of being somewhere... that had, I don't know, a little more homey feel to it, you know, being closer to my mom and then just like kind of just doing my own thing and seeing what happens, you know. I really didn't, with all of the connections I had in Japan at the time, I really didn't know how to like get music started. And so I was like, well, I can figure it out anywhere. I think that was another part of it with that app. Everything was on the app, you know, and COVID was in full effect. So everybody was doing all these virtual things. I was doing virtual events too. Like, so I was like, yeah, I could be anywhere. And I do have all this money saved up. So if I move back home, I don't have to pay rent or like the double taxes and stuff like that. So I can just be in America, take all that money I saved up and put it into music and just see what happens. Good. So that's exactly what I did.
And that's good how job. You created the Pida we know now.
That's how I exist now. And I'm sorry to humanity, but also not.
So tell us once you got back.
Yeah.
Tell us about the process once you got back.
Okay, so.
We said this off camera and I just like wanted to jump back into it on camera. So that app was like designed for people to support the audition. So there was also like fans had to like throw money at the different idols to get them into places.
Yes, exactly. The app is specifically called Mysta. I'm pretty sure people still use it now for the exact same thing. Like Mysta. Mysta. Mysutar probably is how they mean it. And yeah, basically you got the free points you could give to people to help them like stay in the rankings, and you could also give them money, which
you guys never saw that.
Because you know it's in the app. It's with like, I'm guessing Hello Project took a cut and the app took a cut too, and so I didn't get a single dime of that. There was even for the final round specifically, people could buy shirts with our names on it. Mm-hmm. So like the shirt, and my fans today, they still have those shirts in their closet.
Oh,
it's got like,
whoa.
It says Pida on
OG.
It. Yeah, sure. I think it's like the OG shirt at this point. Mm-hmm. It says Pida on it. It says Hachimitsu Musume, which was the name of my group. Mm-hmm. And then it's got like my contestant number on it.
Wow.
And then it's got like the whole contest information on the back.
So this would be branded with
it was like, you know, you paid $50-$60 for the shirt, which gives me like 3,000 points for myself in the ranking. Mm-hmm. And for every shirt that was bought, I would just go up and up. Mm-hmm. And for every shirt that, you know, people bought for the other idols, they would just go up and up. And
so that's how they actually decided in the end as well, like how much support, financial support was given to the idols.
I think that was their way of determining like, okay, well, maybe this person doesn't dance as good or doesn't sing as good, but clearly they've got people that are willing to put money behind them. So
I mean,
it's a really good like corporate investment for us as a group or something.
So, but you guys never saw it.
We never saw the money.
And the group that won in the end,
the final girls, I don't remember all of their names, but the group ended up being called Pati Pati Kandi. And I think they're still active now. Mm-hmm. So check them out if you want. But yeah, personally, like, I don't keep up with the group and I'm not really sure what they're doing exactly, which is a shame.
But they didn't become like the next morning Musume.
Yeah, they're obviously not the next morning Musume, you know? Okay. So they're active, but to what extent, you know, like after all that work, that's what came out of it.
Whereas you are the first Galaxy Girl Pilot.
Exactly.
Yeah, I am. I get to be me. I get to tell my own story. I have complete control over everything that I do, my costumes, my music and everything like that. So that freedom to trade over what could have been like me making it as an idol to a lot of people, I think I'm happy, you know.
Good.
So instead of making it in Japan, you decided to make it in the galaxy.
Yes, exactly.
Hey. So talk us through that process.
Yeah, so you come back from Japan, kind of fish out of water again.
Yes.
Are you fish out of water again? You're going home.
I'm going home.
Back into the water, Janelle.
But I guess back into the water, but also going a completely different direction with like my idol journey and everything.
Can I just ask something? Sorry. Yeah. A bit of a tangent, but before you made the decision, I'm going to be an idol, when you were at school studying linguistics and that, did you have a different projected career path you were going on?
Yes. No one's ever asked me that. Yeah. I was going to, at first, be a civil engineer.
Okay. So now here's what I'm getting to. So now the fact that you got home and said, Mom, Dad, I'm going to be an idol, nuts to the civil engineering. Did that cause a problem?
No, it didn't cause a problem. Okay. My family knows I'm crazy. And like, to be honest, I don't think anybody actually expected me to commit to civil engineering. Oh. I ended up going straight to linguistics and like leaning hard into learning Japanese and just like, you know, how language is formed. So
if I could be a civil engineer, oh my Lord.
I could be a civil engineer.
If I had the academic capability to pull that off, I would be going straight to the whatever place engineers hang out at.
Engineers, the architects, I don't know, like doing, I don't know.
Yeah, my hard hat. But sorry, back to the story.
It's a lot of math.
You're back in Texas.
Yes, I'm back in Texas.
It's now
2021.
Still Panini.
Yeah. Still Panini. We're still in the Panini.
Pancreatic.
Everything's shut down. Everything changed everywhere. Texas was different. America was different. Japan was different. Italy was really going through it too, I believe. Like, it was just like crazy.
Was it that stage, that real early kind of?
Yeah, you know, I know, like, I think because at the time my friends that had to go back to Italy, they were like, do y'all see what the news is saying? Because we don't want to go back to that. And I was like, dang, that's like really hard, you guys. I don't know. It was just, you know, the whole world had changed. So I was like, well, you need to have a different approach to just how you live life at this point. And I just want to live happily. We really don't know what's promised for the future or how the future is even going to look. It's feeling really dystopian right now.
Is that where you pulled it from?
I think that's where I pulled it from. But like at the time, I didn't know. You know, I was just like, the world is in such a disarray. Like, why not try and do something about it while still doing what I want? Because none of this is real. So I gave it a shot. I started looking up how to produce music when you don't know how to produce music. I started taking like ideas that I have been humming. Like if I showed you my phone, you would see stuff going back to like 2013 of like me humming like silly ideas for songs. And yeah, I just took my first crack at it and I released my first EP called literally First Contact.
So you said you learned how to make music for people who don't know how to make music. Mm-hmm. What was your answer?
Was to pay somebody else to do it.
That is called enterprise, my friend.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I did. I took the little bit of money I had saved up to basically live, to start my new life in Japan. That would have lasted like probably a good year or two. And I put that into my first EP and like even the projects I have now, because I'm still working on it. You know, I'm still new to this. But I found so many amazing producers to work with, like Creep P and Jemmy Memu. I think they were Pure Smell back then. And just a lot of different producers.
And you found them in the anime community or they're in Japan? Where are they?
They're all over. Jem lives in Venezuela.
Oh, wow.
Creep lives in New York. Yeah. And then I have my main producer now who I didn't meet. Well, I actually met while I was producing my first EP, but I didn't put that on the track because we were still working. But my main producer, Skynock, is in Japan. And I'm working also with Sasaki Kisa, who is a very talented producer that's worked with some of my like Kamiyoshis in like the Chika Idol world. So yeah, I'm working with a lot of talented people from all over the world. And that's the state of how the earth works right now. You can just work with anybody, you know?
So how does that work? You write them and say, I would like to make this into a song, or how does the state
I think there? With just literally how my first EP worked, I was talking to Creep while I was in Japan. I was talking to everyone while I was in Japan, and I think they were just like really like affirming, like, yeah, you could do this. You could make this music, and this is how much it'll be, and like it's super doable, like everything. And I was like, okay, well, like this is how much money I have, and this is how much rent is, and this is how when I would be here. And I was like, I'll just go back home and save this money for my music. So yeah, we worked on music together. I would like type up an idea that I'm having, or send like them, like me humming to the idea. They would work something out, like, you know, not with a top line. I would do the top line. That was my humming. And then they would make music to like go along with that. And then I would be like, okay, I like this, but maybe let's change this here or everything. And like, you know, make a song. And that's how we
exactly
got
how I started doing it as well, by the way. Hire someone else and humming and so I hear it going, dugga da dugga da dugga dugga da dugga da. Exactly all that. Yeah.
Literally, and it sounds ridiculous to me, but depending on who you work with, they're really like open.
They go, yep, cool.
They're like, cool,
making
yeah.
a music song. There you are. And you're like, oh, now
and
it's
And then
a
you could be
song.
Like, yeah. So now I'm at the point where I still do humming for a lot of my ideas, but I do have like my little keyboard, and I have my DAW. I use Ableton personally, and you know, I do my best to get my ideas out, and that's basically my music process.
Wait a second, you have a dog and then you use Ableton. Sorry.
Totally, both just spoke at the exact same time. Yeah. And both of us assumed the other one would stop, but neither of us did. So, you go.
You had a dog and Ableton? I'm so confused.
No, it's okay. So a DAW, digital audio workstation.
Oh.
Yeah. So like, you know, like GarageBand, on the iPhone, they have like, you know, actual computer programs that do that, but a lot more powerful. So there's like Ableton and Cubase and Studio One or something like that. And
you brought up dogs. I was like, wait, where did the dog get involved?
I was so confused. I have a keyboard, I have a dog, and I have Ableton.
That's how part of she puts a puppy on a keyboard.
On the keyboard,
and
it's
just
like, bum, bum, bum,
that's
bum,
the song
bum.
Is.
Like, who's this
that
guy?
That is some Arts. Yoko Ono inspiration,
I
friends.
I would do something like that. Let me be for real. Like, I would put, I used to have rats. They only live like a couple of years, so they're passed away now. But I totally would put a rat on a piano and then just have it scurry around and be like, yes, magic music.
That's what happened with the Ninja Turtles. Wow, see? All right.
But yeah, sorry.
What? So you had a keyboard, you had a DAW, a dog, and you had Ableton, and that's how you also started playing around with
before
music,
I had the Ableton or anything. I just had the people, and I had my little silly humming ideas like saved into like the Notes app on my phone. Mm-hmm. And I would just send that over, and they would send me a song, and I'd be like, okay, let me spend like 50 years writing lyrics because I'm nervous. And then I would write my lyrics, and then I would get in my closet and record the songs, mm-hmm. and then send it to somebody else for like the audio engineering, and then I would have a song.
Wow.
Yeah.
You said something, and we were talking the same time.
It doesn't matter. We went past it.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Tell us, okay, so for now, hit this point on. So this is the process of you putting out your first EP. So now at what point do you blow up and become Pied of the Superstar that you
Okay.
Become?
So I released my first EP. It was okay. I love those songs, but like obviously now that I've had a little more experience, I could see like how I could improve upon those. But you know, I just, you know, keep going with it. I released another single shortly after that called Future Town, and I love that song so much. That was the first song I released with my producer Skynock, and he's so great. I literally met him on the silliest in the silliest way. I just like was searching up you know, are y'all familiar with type beats at all?
Yeah.
Okay. So in America, I don't know if this is a thing everywhere, but in America there's like type beats where like somebody has made an instrumental and you can buy it. And a lot of rappers use it.
Is that what Pinky was saying she was using?
Oh, yeah. Pinky does like
type. What Pinky said she used? I think so.
Maybe. Yeah, I think so. That would make sense. Yeah, you can find a lot of producers that way. And you can either buy the beat that they've already made, or you can like pay extra and work with them on something completely original. But if you buy the type beat, anybody can buy the type beat. You know, anybody can make a song with that. So you could crank out some music, but anyone can use the same instrumental and do their own thing with it. And like,
you can't own the publishing.
You don't really. But if you paid a crazy amount of money, you definitely could like have that song. But also, yeah, like, well, let's say, what's your budget? Do you want to make an album? Do you want to make an album and you only have $100? Okay. Well, you can go on like a type beat website and spend $20 on four songs and then just record and then just release them as is. Like, you could do that. But if you want, if you love that song so much, the person is like $10,000 and that's your song. Joke. But you also have to think about, it's been sitting on the website for how long? How many people have bought $20 versions of that song, you know? So I found a website like that similar for Japan, but it's music that's like just for commercial use. You cannot like, what is it? Like Uta Awase or whatever. You can't sing along, you know, you can't write lyrics to it or anything like that. So if you want to use it for a radio or a commercial or a live event where it's just the music playing, $30 or something. And that's cool, but that doesn't work for me, you know? So I went on there, I listened to a lot of people's like sounds, and then I got their names. And then I was like, let me like reverse engineer this with my civil engineering brain. That's
where the engineer
that's not,
comes in.
I'm just stupid. But I found them on like Twitter, and I was like, hey, I'm going to send you a Twitter DM. Oh, do you have an email? I'm going to send you an email. Like, I like your sound and I would like to do the making of music. And most people ignore you, I guess, because like they're happy doing what they're doing. And that's completely, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to send emails to people for various things. If they don't get back to you, that's on them. That's not on you.
You reply for maybe 10%.
Yeah. That's just how life is. I'm not saying it's fair or respectable, but
that's the other thing.
Yeah. You never know. But you know, I get replies back from a few people, but Skynock replied back to me and it's just been like rainbows and flowers and butterflies ever since. He was like, you seem weird. Let's make music together. And I was like, okay. And then so Future Talent came out of that. And it was just another song I released. I was like, hey guys, I tried it again. And I went on with my life. And then I don't know what happened, but I really got, so when I was living in Japan and Corona happened, we were quarantined. They would not let the foreigners leave our rooms. We had like 60 minutes. We were allowed to go like grocery shopping, but they would not let us leave. So I got really into my phone. I got really into Splatoon and I got really into TikTok. I wasn't posting TikToks at the time, but like my whole life, I was chronically online. I am chronically online. Oh, wow. And after that, like I released the song, I would still just be chronically online. And I was like, you know what? Why don't I make a TikTok? And so I just started, you know, everybody's doing like renegade, you know, like all that silly stuff. And then for some reason I posted one with my own Future Town in it, which is funny because I posted a TikTok of Future Town when I released it and nobody cared. But a year later, I posted another one with like me, like footage of me singing along with it. And they just,
oh, and it blew up.
It was a, yeah, I woke up the next morning and I was like, oh my days. It was crazy.
Really? Hang on.
How
so,
did it blow up? What happened? How many people? How many likes? How many clicks? How many
I have to look at it, but it's got like millions of views or some like hundreds of thousands of likes and tens of thousands of positive and very much not so positive comments on it.
Isn't it weird with the stuff that blows up and the stuff that doesn't? Sometimes you'll plan something and be like, this is gonna set the internet on fire, and it just dies.
And it just dies.
And then some other thing which is just totally half-assed is like, this will be ridiculous. And then that becomes the thing everyone knows you for.
Yes. It, there's literally, that's why I'm like, nothing is real and there's no rules, because you just never know at the end of the day.
What she just said, nothing's real and there's no rules.
So do whatever you want.
Which is not how the Japanese feel about life. In Japan, everything must be just like this and it's all rules all day and no other possibility.
So just do what makes you happy. As long as it's not hurting anybody, just do whatever. Like, it don't matter.
But isn't it lucky that the thing you went viral for was not you covering someone else's song, but you doing
yes,
your own song?
Yes. Okay, so to clarify, I posted about Future Town when I released a song. Nobody cared. I was like, whatever, I'm still gonna make TikToks. And I was like, you know what my mom really likes? R&B music. Yeah. You know what I like? R&B music. And you know what I do? I like to sing in Japanese. So I did translate one of my mom's favorite songs, which was Rained by SWV, into Japanese. And I did like a 30 second like translation of that. That blew up. Mm-hmm. Like, I think soon after I first posted Future Town. And I was like, oh, okay, people want covers of R&B songs in Japanese. So I did that for a little bit. And then I was like, this isn't my passion. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to kind of stop doing it. Like, if I don't like doing something, it doesn't matter how logical it is for me to keep doing it. It just, it won't happen.
It won't happen.
So yeah, I stopped doing that. And so I fell off on TikTok again. And I was like, well, I'm just going to keep doing whatever. So yeah, I'm just going to keep doing whatever. And then I posted just like a really, low effort TikTok of my song with like me singing with Future Town. And that just went up even more than the covers did. Good. So it felt really validating. I think like when the cover blew up, I was like, I'm glad people like this, but I'm really sad it's not like my own music. Mm. And then with Future Town, I felt really happy. Like, oh my God, it's my own music and people actually like it. I'm doing something right.
And then did Future Town get put into one of those dance machine thingamajigas or something?
Someone put Future Town in like the Taiko no Tatsujin or whatever it's called. Yeah. Wow. I did another song with another producer. Called Crescent. The producer's name is Criminal Code, and that got put in the Future Diver or Music Diver machine that you can go play at round one. And yeah, it's just been crazy.
Did they not contact you that they put that into their game?
No, they said like, hey, we're going to put this into the drum one. They didn't tell me. So someone told me like on Instagram, like,
so
hey,
you
it's
got
in
like
there.
No royalties whatsoever.
Man, I don't get money for like anything. That's the thing. People see like I went from like as a Kaigai idol, like most of us are niche and like, you know, in our little bubble. So like we don't have as big of a following as like quote unquote real music artists. But I went from like 2,000 followers to like now I have like almost 100K. And people think like, oi, everything's different for you now. You're like big famous. You got a lot of money. And like, I promise you, I don't.
Is that
like,
how they say it? You've got big money. No. Different for you now.
But I can tell like they come to me and they're like, oh yeah, like you're doing it. And I'm like, I am doing it, but I still got a lot of work to do because I promise you I'm still
good
struggling
attitude,
every day. Like,
good attitude. Most people go, I've blown up now, all right, millions, where are me millions at? Good attitude. Good. Good. I'm so proud of her.
So One Game did contact you. How did that then go?
They contacted Attack the Music. They contacted Criminal Code and they were like, we really like this song you did. Can we put it in like, or can we pitch it for the machines? I actually don't know how it works. But he came to me and he was like, they want to do this song. They want to give us like $50 for it each or something. And I was like, oh, okay. I know he really wanted that. He really wanted to make a song to like pitch to be put in games and stuff like that. I just wanted to make a song, you know? So I was like, this is what you really wanted. So I'm really happy for you. And yeah, that's how that happened.
Great. Well, okay. So you blew up on TikTok. You're now in several games. What happens next?
And then you're performing at anime conventions.
So I assume when you blew up, was it still like you weren't allowed to perform live? At which point in time is the panini over so much that you can perform?
Let's see. That happened like at Christmas time, not last year, but like the year before that.
Oh, okay. So you were already
things
able
were
to.
Still like, yeah, we were still coming out of it. But like I remember distinctly I was doing like a lot of like virtual events. The people were like making anime conventions online, like with Discord channels for them, and everything was really intricate. I was doing stuff like that, and conventions were slowly going from being canceled to like trying to come back a little bit. Mm-hmm. So things were moving a bit slowly, but like, you know, my name was out there more and I was, you know, trying to take advantage of it the best I could while dealing with all the pressure from everybody about like now, like, oh, everyone knows your song and everything like that. It was really great. Like a lot of people know the dance. A lot of people are covering it. Like someone did like a Vocaloid Miku cover with it. It's really good. And I guess honestly, I'm still kind of like at that point where it's like, I have like a lot of potential that people see in me. And I just want to, you know, try and honor that while also not letting the pressure get to me so much so that I'm like crumbling. I don't know.
You ain't crumbling. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
This is excellent. So there, okay, and now you're doing international conventions and things as well. Yeah, you're
I'm trying to. Good. I've done I've performed in Japan before. I've performed all over America. I want to keep doing more, like not even just anime conventions. Right now I would really like to do a music festival, you know, maybe not Coachella or anything, but I mean Coachella would be really cool. So yeah, I'm just trying to like just get my name out there more. Honestly, right now, my main focus is my music. I have some really big releases coming out for the rest of the year.
Good.
And I just want to show people where I've like come from since first contact. So I'm working on my second EP, and I think this is the first time I've said this like to people. So yeah, I hope you like that. I've already released the first single for it.
What's the name of the single?
Planet Killer.
Planet Killer.
It came out last month. I did it like as a birthday release, and yeah, that's how I celebrate the inevitable doom of our planet.
I see. That's not how I expected that sentence to end.
Yep. Yay! Happy birthday to the Earth. You're gonna die. No, sorry.
Have things changed for you ever since you blew up on TikTok?
Yes. But I feel like people probably think they've changed for me in a way that I'm about to explain. Or not the way I'm about to explain. More people know who I am. When I go outside, people know who I am. And it's terrifying. Especially because like I'll go to HEB and I will be like, I got no makeup on and I'm wearing sweatpants. And they're like, are you Pida? And I'm like, I've gotten some opportunities that I don't think I would have gotten prior, which has been very like rewarding, and I appreciate it so much. And more people know about J-pop and Kaigai idols, even if they still don't really get it. And there's just a lot of abrasiveness to like something that's been existing for literally decades before I was even alive, you know? So I get a lot of hate now that I just was not ever expecting. Like, we're not going to sit in this room and act like I look like the pinnacle, like the model J-pop idol. Like, I know I don't, but I just don't think that matters. But some people on the internet really think that matters. And
if they would hear how hard this girl has worked to get to where she is,
but you know,
they should
jackasses.
Probably shut up.
Yeah, but screw those jackasses as well. You know?
Seriously.
So let me raise a potentially uncomfortable topic. Have you experienced racism within the anime community and within the Kaigai Idol community?
I think like if you asked me a few years ago, I would have said no. I think this community, at its peak in my eyes, was really good at being truly accepting of every type of person, because like we're all like weebs coming into something that like we're technically like not a part of and like making it our own, you know? So overall, I think overall at the time I didn't experience any racism. After TikTok blew up, yes, it's been nonstop.
But do you feel that is specifically due to who you are within the J-pop community? Or is that just TikTok? Because there's all kids on there just looking to start a fight.
You know, it's really easy for me to write it off like, oh, they're just children, they're immature. But like some of those people aren't as anonymous as others. And some of them are like, you know, grown but adults and still confidently saying that stuff. So I think it's a combination of like people on the internet being people on the internet and just being ignorant to something and just feeling threatened that like the world is bigger than what they've perceived it to be. And there's just a lot of hate on the internet in general.
Now, you being where you are, I'm pretty sure you're already an inspiration to the next girl who thought she couldn't do that and couldn't do what you're doing.
I don't know exactly how I should feel about it, but I do get a lot of like private DMs and emails from people that are like, I'm a little like, or like my daughter is a little black girl who loves this kind of music and everything. And seeing you do what you do is just really inspiring for me. And I think I don't really want to, I don't want to be a role model, you know, like none of us really get to like choose how we're perceived by other people. But if I can make you feel, or like if I can make you realize that you can do anything you want, because really like none of this is real. None of the rules are real. You can really just do whatever you want. You should just try to be happy. Like at the end of the day, everyone should just pursue their happiness and spread positivity to the people around them, you know? So
that's an excellent message.
I feel humbled that people are like, what you do inspires me. So I really appreciate it, you know, but also like I'm just a girl.
From out space. There right now listening to this, there's a little black girl who has the dream to be a civil engineer, and you have inspired her to follow that all the way through.
Yes, all the way through, and don't pivot into anything else.
That is fantastic. Do you? How'd you feel about those kids? I can't remember their name. There were the three foreign girls who got in trouble on TikTok.
Oh, Sorbet.
Yeah. How'd you feel about that whole saga?
Listen, Sorbet came up on my For You page at the start. You know, okay. The For You page is bad. TikTok's really
sorry,
bad.
Sorry, hold on, guys. I have okay. No idea what we're talking
oh,
about.
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't know about this?
No. There I was, don't know anything about TikTok.
There was a Kaigai Idol group in the United States called Sorbet. Three American girls. And so they were doing all their idol
stuff.
They're
doing their call and response, you know, like.
So, and they all had, you know, fruits, and one of them was strawberry. So she's like, and so you call strawberry. And she got in trouble because people said cultural appropriation. Mm-hmm. So they shut down the group. Mm-hmm. She had to do a big public apology mm-hmm. on TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's crazy.
I can't believe
but
you don't know
katakana,
about this.
That's the katakana spelling of
yes.
strawberry.
Yeah. Yes. And though people were like, but isn't strawberry ichigo in Japanese? Because I know so much Japanese and I'm so much superior in my knowledge of Japanese. Like, it's just, listen, at the end of the day, people saw it cringe and they just felt like so about it being cringe to them that they just really dogpiled on it.
But that,
and it's a
that
shame.
Whole thing to me was... Clearly, these people don't know anything about
it's
the
really heartbreaking
because
Sorbet disbanded and like I don't like Barry, the one who was mainly getting all of the flack. She's still very much active solo. And honestly, props to her tenacity because she's really pulling through, you know?
Yeah, she's the one who got it, but she's still the one who keeps
but
going.
But she's
then.
The one that keeps going. Because she wanted it. She wanted it and she wants it. And
that girl has like, my full support, man. I felt very sorry.
We met in person at one of an events I was guest at last year. Mm. And I was like, listen, like... Forget this, you know, like just please don't let it discourage
tell
you.
Tell her Ladybeard's got her back. I felt very sorry for those girls.
I think she just released like her first single too.
Good.
And she's trying to do
good.
Some
power to you,
so yeah,
friend.
No, Sorbet is just another Kaigai, like another small Kaigai group that was just trying to be cute and have
just
fun.
Do their thing.
And it just got really out of hand.
Good. Sorry,
so
please.
Where are those platforms where those people are getting torn apart? Is that more TikTok? Is that more Instagram? Where?
It was primarily TikTok. TikTok is where, and then I did see a lot of stuff on Twitter too. Ooh, it just really like, because I was getting it. When Future Town blew up, I was getting it. Mm. And I was getting probably like a lot of comments on my race, on my weight, on me trying to speak another, like, God forbid I try and just learn another language and be a part of it. People saying I was like, do you know the RCTA or whatever? Like, people
what's
saying
that,
race changed to another. People were like, oh, she's one of those, like, wants to be Japanese and is actively trying to be Japanese. Like, yes, I look real Japanese. I want to be Japanese so bad. Oh my God. Being black is just, like, God, look at how Japanese I am right now. Like, it just didn't make sense to me, but no, like.
So that was the kind of stuff you were suffering with.
Yeah. And so she was getting that times 10. I guess she wasn't getting like the black comments, you know, obviously, but she was like, she's.
That'd be something if she were. That'd really be a dynamic. She's a white girl. That's why this,
oh,
that's
yeah.
the joke.
Sorry. Yeah.
So, but seeing like there seems to be a lot of plus and minus to being a Kaigai idol. Mm-hmm. What are the advantages and disadvantages of being a Kaigai idol instead of trying what you tried first, making it in Japan?
I think, well, you know, what we do in the Kaigai idol community, which I think is honestly something we need to work on, is that we really have been othering ourselves to a fault. Obviously, the type of music that we are leaning towards and like the style and aesthetic and everything is very new to a Western audience, like even with the advent of K-pop and everything. But at the end of the day, when the people who are really trying to do this, we are just, you know, independent music artists, you know, and just like other independent music artists, we have a lot of freedom and the type of music we make and the visuals and the story we're telling, you know, and that's really the big plus versus like trying to join a group, you know. When you're in the group, you get your group color, you're at the whim of the company, like they could disband you in a year just because they feel like it, and then what, you know? So,
and then maybe you can't even use the same name anymore.
You can't use the same name anymore. The music, like, you can be like, oh, this is the group I was in and their music and everything, but it's not.
They'll tell all their networks you can't deal with this person anymore. Yeah. Like, all kinds of nonsense can happen.
You don't know, like, literally anything can happen. But if you're just you, that's that's you. You know, you own that. That's whatever you want it to be, however you want to sculpt it. I mean, yeah, you could sign it off to a company later and then like hopefully like they don't, but they could like take your master's or something. But at the time you're at right now, you have complete creative freedom to just do whatever you want, you know?
Metallica got their master's back after being famous for 30 years.
I assume you don't mean the literary student master's. What's a master's for those who don't work in music?
Master recording of your songs.
Yeah. Like you make your own masters, you know, I have them on like my hard drive and stuff like that, you know, and it's 100% mine. Whatever I choose to do with it, release it to the public, delete it from the face of the earth. Like it's
sell
mine.
Sell it to a commercial.
Sell it to a commercial. License it. Yeah. The sync licensing and stuff. Like, yeah, you have just complete control over who you want to be.
Is there like a disadvantage of it or is pretty much just advantages of it?
I mean, every individual is different, you know, but like I don't come from a background of wealth. I don't have all of the resources in the world or the connections to just like skyrocket myself to a bigger platform or like all of the resources and opportunities that somebody else could have with a company or like being in a group or something like that. So it's just harder to get yourself out there. And
if you have to dance in hallways, you have to dance in hallways.
You gotta dance in hallways. But you know, if you join a group, they already have the costumes picked out. They already have the songs picked out. They already know exactly what they want you to do. And all you have to do is just turn your brain off and be cute and do whatever they tell you to do. So maybe that's preferred for some people. I think at a point for me, that's what I wanted. That was my dream. And I'm in a completely different place now. I'm not that person anymore.
You're tenacious and self-starting enough to be able to do it by yourself. Like a lot of people just don't have the internals.
It's a lot of work.
To make that happen, a lot of people just want to be slotted in and just do as they're told, you know?
So. Yeah. I mean, it is if you don't really know how to make music and you find it
all it's a good way to get started, too.
It's a good way to get started. That's exactly right. Especially if it happens for you when you're young.
Yeah, you don't even realize it, you know?
Even if that includes also getting singing lessons and dance lessons. Yeah. And you can work your way up from
there. The other big advantage of it is it depends on your deal, I suppose. But a lot of the time, all the hard work will be handled and paid for you,
the company. Yeah. Oh. I have to fund everything I do. So whether it's my costumes, whether it's my promo, whether it's getting my songs mixed and mastered, like it's all on me. And maybe I'll do some crowdfunding or maybe I'll go like find a sugar daddy. You know? I'm so sorry.
Holy moly.
this went somewhere.
No. Get the girl from Sorbet. Get a Sorbet daddy. She's
yeah,
not
get
daddy.
A Sorbet daddy, you know.
Oh, that was terrible.
No,
that
was, it was fine.
I tried to do a thing and it fell on its booty. I'm sorry.
But no, yeah, so just with like, you know, you're building yourself from the ground up.
Thank you for appreciating the effort. I appreciate you appreciating the effort.
I'm so lost. I don't know what a Sorbet daddy is. Oh,
it's okay. So we'll go find one together.
Lady Beard did a terrible job of making a pun. Just
all right.
Should we wrap this bad boy up?
All right. I have the feeling I need to like do the German thing and move on from this here.
Yes.
But now you are where you are now right now. And you're bringing out a second EP soon. Mm-hmm. What are like future goals and dreams now?
Okay.
Now that you are an idol.
Yes, because I am an idol. Mm-hmm. And it's really not that big a deal. Like anybody can do anything. But within that, I want to find myself more as an artist. I want to keep refining my sound. I want to keep making more amazing music, having more fun with it, doing more music videos. Because I just released the music video for Future Town last year. So I'm trying to do more visual storytelling to go along with my music. That's been my big struggle because, you know, money. I just want to keep seeing where I can go. I want to keep doing my art and see where my art takes me and just, you know, see what
beautiful
happens.
Thing,
yeah.
My friend.
To the moon.
To the moon and
where you were from originally.
Yes. Just go back around.
Any advice for anyone sitting out there listening to this or watching this on YouTube saying, wow, I want to be an idol too, maybe a Kai Guy idol. So what would be your advice?
Maybe it's not helpful, but just do it. Like,
good advice.
I get a lot of questions from people and I think they're wanting to hear a magic answer from me. Like, how did you learn Japanese? Or like, how can I be an idol? You really just have to do it. I can tell you the easy answer of like, go to a class, go buy books, go study, do your singing practice, do your dance practice. Like, but
I think people want to hear, I watched this anime and magically
the next
somehow
day, I was, yeah, I watched Love Live and then the next day I was an idol. Like,
yeah, but it's like, you know, we know how to learn Japanese. You go to Japanese school, you get the teachers and the books, yeah, and you do your work.
You know, like, you could get that answer from anywhere. What you're looking for me is this magic answer that doesn't exist. Specifically with Kaigai idoldom. It's the wild, wild west. It's more refined than it was when I got started, but there is no clear path. Everyone's got their own path, and you just need to practice, have fun with it, and just do something, and your path will be revealed to you as you're in the dirt, like digging it out, you know?
That's very well said, like a paleontologist.
You can go on my TikTok, you can go on my social media, and you can try and do exactly what I'm doing. That doesn't mean it's going to work out for you. Mm. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just trying different things, just like everybody else is. And hopefully it'll work out. And I really think if you just keep going, it will work out for you. That's all I can say. Just please try. Mm. Just don't sit there and be like, this seems really hard or really far away. Just, it doesn't matter. Don't compare yourself to people. Just do anything. If you can get up today and do something towards your goal that you didn't do yesterday, then you're literally so much further than you were yesterday and then a lot of people were right now. So just do it. Just do it.
Wow, you're like a J-pop Tony Robbins. This is amazing.
I mean, in the end, you also answered, I think for me, you answered this question already in those two podcast episodes of how hard you worked. Like, literally, that dancing in the hallway will stay with me because it's unique. You came up with it. It is very hard. It is harder, in my opinion, it's harder to dance in a hallway than it is on a stage. Mm-hmm. Because on a stage, people are prepared to stop and listen. Mm-hmm. Well, in the hallway, they're not.
They're just walking by. And it's you're doing it more for yourself, honestly, just so you can get like the jitters out. And so hopefully maybe somebody will come up and ask you some questions, but like nobody's there for you. It's very humbling.
It's the most purest form of performing.
Like
being right on a street performer. Mm-hmm. It's you eat what you kill and nothing else.
And then like sending emails to people, like reverse engineering certain people you wanted to contact, literally calling the embassy every day. This is all a proof to your hard work to get to where you are. Mm. In between, you just sat down and like expected things to happen to you. That never happened.
It's not going to happen.
So it feels so rewarding to like hear that you had like suddenly a spike in views because you worked so hard to get to where you are right now.
I love
Thank you.
So impressed.
Thank you.
Yeah, she's an ass kicker, isn't she? A booty kicker. It's incredible.
I'm trying, I guess. Thank you.
Well,
tell us people where you are on the internets.
My name is all capital letters, so P-A-I-D-A, except the I is tiny. And you can find me on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Keep a good eye on the YouTube because things are happening.
Things are happening, guys. That second EP. We're like exclusive. We've been exclusive news about our second EP.
It is. You're welcome.
So much.
You're welcome.
I'm feeling honored about it.
Go there right now. Watch my YouTube videos. I have a few. Do it, maybe.
Do it now.
Do it now.
YouTube. We're going to go check you out on the YouTube. Check out Paida.
That's right.
Any final message you want to give to the audience?
Yes. Thank you.
I thought you were going to say yes, then just stop. Sorry, please.
No, I mean, I did think of something and I forgot, but I really appreciate every opportunity that comes my way, and to have so many people in my court is a really humbling, you know, notion. And I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to do what makes me happy. And there's nothing more deep to it than that. So I hope you enjoy it. And I hope you're here for the ride. Thank you.
Oh my God, can I have a hug?
Yeah, of course.
You're so awesome, girl. Seriously. I want to see you thrive.
Thank you.
All right, Paida, check her out on all of the social media. And we see you soon with another episode of
Cat!